8:06.
What do you do?
This is a new record.
This is a record.
This is unbelievable.
Yeah, we thought we were going to get it on time. We still.
Well, we shouldn't talk sports yet because nobody, none of our listeners are on yet.
Nobody's listening because they know we don't.
So we can do it. We got 8 minutes here to just whatever. Put our thumbs or
Bubba's top ten.
Here we go. Where's Rocker?
Community club meeting. Yep. He's always there.
Finally, we get him. We got a time where we can talk to him wide open.
And he ain't here.
Nothing's going right.
Can't get a break.
Hey, welcome to Sports Talk. I am Bob Stogler. My man right across from the studio here is Mr. Harold Freely. Fee, how the hell are you?
I am good, Bobby.
Jack's sticking around here. How's it going, Jackson?
I'm good.
Good. And the man, the myth.
What the plan?
The legend, Neil Spencer.
Yeah, Neil and I had a Jerry Seinfeld show.
Did you? Just kind of a...
About nothing?
Show about nothing.
Full of nothing.
No, you can't beat those. I just spit all over this.
What happened to Bush?
We don't know. Hey, I didn't get a return message from him this week, so I'm guessing he might be ill.
Ooh. It's going around.
Yep, a lot of stuff going
around. We got a great show tonight. We are going to talk to the head girls basketball coach at Fort Gary High School, Mr. Tyler Deitch.
Tyler.
And we're going to give him a buzz. Matter of fact, you can call him, Neil.
Oh, okay. Well,
it's Gary Murray.
He said, bring it on, boys.
He's ready.
He is ready.
He's going to have a good team this year, huh?
I think so, too.
We have some athletes for sure.
We got a tough opening weekend.
Yeah.
Crestview and Arcanum. And
both good, right?
Patch said Arcanum's loaded.
Yeah, I think they're both really good.
Yeah. So
Crestview always is.
Boop-a-boop. Well, we're going to find out more. He'll know more.
Yep. He will know.
He'll know a lot more about it than we will.
We're in trouble.
Is he on there?
Yep.
Coach, you there?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Coach, how are you, buddy?
How's it going?
Hey, it's going good. Welcome to Sports Talk with Bubba and Fee. And Coach, it's year two of the Tyler Deitch regime here at the Fort. And let's talk a little bit about your Indians. We excited about Friday night.
For sure. Especially with the girls coming off the big volleyball run and just the excitement that the team brings in with that, with most of those girls, over half the team being on that volleyball team that made that run, just kind of getting back and trying to get competitive again and getting to go against people that, you know, aren't necessarily from Fort Recovery and going against other teams. And then also with being able to open up against Crestview, which was one of our bigger losses last year, and getting ready to avenge that, bringing back a big part of our team from last year.
You're also bringing back a couple girls coming off injuries, and both of them big, very important players in your lineup. Talk a little bit about the Mullencamp girl and the Hillscamp girl.
Yeah, so getting those girls back is huge. We don't have McKenna back yet for Friday. She's cleared to play on Saturday for us. So a bit unfortunate with that, just the way that the timing of all of her rehab process and everything worked out. But she'll be back for the second game going forward. But she looks really good, definitely ready to play. She definitely brings a sense of pace to our team that it's hard to match. Nobody else can really do that. And I think that that's one of her biggest strong suits. She makes a lot of really good plays. She can shoot from the outside. She can get to the basket really well. And just her quickness and athleticism defensively is huge. And she loves to push the floor, which just kind of helps all the other girls kind of pick up the pace a little bit. So getting her back on Saturday will be really a huge addition to the team. And then once we get Kennedy back, which we missed her for over the last half of the season, being one of our primary ball handlers, a really smart kid that we have on the team that makes a lot of really good decisions and gets us just as it gets the team where they need to be, and kind of gets everything set up for us. Just her versatility is huge with as tall and long as she is, but with how skilled she is with the ball as well. Having her up at the top of our offense kind of gives teams some fits that we've seen in scrimmages so far. So she looks really strong coming off of that shoulder. She doesn't really have any issues going on with that. She's not gun shy with anything, welcoming contact, going right into people, getting into that 5 to 12 foot range for just a little rise up jumpers over top of a lot of shorter defenders that end up on her. But she's so versatile and just a huge part of the team.
Coach Big Fee here. Hey, now how do you have Friday you can't play, but you can play Saturday?
Yeah.
We got to talk to that doctor. What's going on?
Yeah, that was my first question. Yeah, so that's coming from the doctor. So the way that her rehab process worked out, she over the last couple of weeks, she could go half court with full contact, and then she could add full court with full contact. But that week always ends on Friday for the week. So she had to do a full week of practice before she was able to play. So
so do you
being able to come back Saturday will be big.
So Coach, you got that doctor's phone number.
We'll make a call.
Well, so that's, I don't know if I got quite the pull down there in Cincinnati that I'd like to have, but.
Well, you know, that's okay though, because, getting those girls a little time without her, because there's going to be a lot of times this year on the court where she might be a little bit of foul trouble. So, because she is one aggressive guard.
Yep. And we definitely saw that last year. Whenever she kind of reined that in a little bit and didn't have those aggressive fouls, just for like make up plays, if she made a mistake, she just kind of really goes all out onto that next possession. And a lot of times she would pick up a foul. But when she stopped doing that, last year is when she really kind of came into her own and started just playing within the game and within her own head a little bit. Was that's where she really started taking strides.
So, Coach, does that the volleyball run, which was awesome,
right?
Is that you think that helps you, or I mean, you get them late. I mean, you don't get as many shots in as the other teams do, but yet they're coming off of there with that confidence of being that playoff team. I mean, that's got to make you happy. Got to make you fired up thinking these girls are going to do the same thing in the basketball.
Oh, yeah, for sure. We ended up canceling the scrimmage, and then we only had 3 or 4 practices before our first scrimmage with our whole team, and then obviously not having McKenna for that was definitely big. But being able to just go out and the way that we competed with these other teams that had been playing and practicing for an extra week than we had, it really didn't look like we missed a beat missing those practices. And the morale of the team and just like the way that they really just come together and really enjoy being out there just kind of helps overcome a lot of those issues. So I always feel like the girls play better when they're like, they win because they're happy. They're not happy necessarily because they're winning. So kind of flipping that switch and kind of playing off of that cause and effect and just trying to really put the girls in the right space and give them the confidence to just go out and play free and go to the best of their ability.
Awesome.
How's your scrimmages went so far?
They were good. We definitely had things that we took from both scrimmages that we worked on thereafter. Going against a tough Rushi squad, that's always solid over the last 2 years that we've played them. And then also Troy Christian, who showed us a little bit of different looks that we haven't necessarily seen for like in our normal schedule. So that was good. Played tough with them, kind of split a couple quarters there. But again, that was after just 3 or 4 practices with the team and then trying to work some of our younger girls in, kind of really see where we were at. And then last weekend, we went down to Fort Laramie, which you always know is going to be that's going to be a tough day if you're not on your A game. So we struggled early. It was early in the morning. We struggled early with them and Van Wert. But then about halfway through, we kind of started picking things up, figuring things out. And by the end, we were playing really well and winning a couple quarters against both teams. So being able to walk out of the gym with our last quarter beating Fort Laramie for that 10-minute stretch was definitely a good lift and a good note to kind of walk out on and give us some a little bit of confidence coming into Crestview Friday.
So Friday night, Coach, what's your starting lineup going to look like?
So yeah, this Friday we got our 2 seniors. We got Kennedy and Carly, who we'll definitely look to lean on quite a bit And then we'll, Cameron Mullenkamp will be starting again for us this year. So we'll bring back those three starters. We'll have Bridget Holman kind of stepping up from our JV team. She's another sophomore, really, really skilled offensive player, really smooth and strong with the ball, really has a great, like, sweeping hook shot that you don't really see a whole lot today, which is, yeah, so she likes to come across the lane and throw one up there on, as she's coming through. So we look for her to get really involved. And then Emma Schmitz.
She's off. The Holman girl is now my absolute favorite player. Shooting hook shots.
Go
ahead. Sorry.
That's old school. I love it.
Yeah, it's awesome. Go ahead. I'm sorry. I interrupted you on the next player.
And then Emma Schmitz. She's another sophomore, right?
Yep. And then, yep. So Emma Schmitz, another sophomore, will be kind of holding down our inside game. Her and Carly will be flipping in and out of there. Really strong rebounder, a good defender, athletic out on the perimeter, and just kind of filling that fifth, just utility player role, just kind of cleaning up whatever messes kind of get laid out there and really taking. She does a great job of taking advantage of just kind of what's put out in front of her.
Depth wise, are we eight? How's this set up? We got 15 kids out?
We got 15 kids out. Yep. We got 10 on the varsity team right now. Really hopeful that we can get play a good solid eight is kind of where we're looking. Obviously, Friday, we're missing one of those eight pieces. So yep. Probably be a little shallower bench on Friday than we will on Saturday. But McKenna will come in with fresh legs on Saturday then with that. So, but yeah, we're looking to play a good 7 to 8 and then, as always, trying to build some experience with some of those younger girls kind of coming up at the bottom of that varsity roster.
How about you?
Looking to play some freshmen as well at some point throughout the year, just because it's going to be inevitable at some point.
So how about your JV schedule? Are you going to have enough to play a few games?
Yeah. So we're playing a full JV schedule, unless the other schools have canceled, which we've had about 5 or 6 have already canceled or have gone down to 2 quarters, which if you're going down to 2 quarters at this point of the year, it's almost a given that those games might not happen if they're later on in the year, just with injuries and things like that. But we're hopeful to try to fill in any of the gaps that we can with some other teams in the area. So if we have a home game that our JV opponents canceled on, we're trying to find other teams who aren't playing that night that are willing to bring their JV team over to play. It's kind of, we did the same thing with Rushi last year. We went over to Rushi for a JV only game one night. So looking to get them as much experience and as many games as we can.
You, Jack's here. Jack's got a couple questions for you, Coach.
Yeah.
Yeah, Coach. So when you look at the league, who's the team to beat in the MAC this year?
Yeah, so I feel like it's going to be pretty balanced up at the top this year. I think there's quite a few teams who I feel can really contend for the conference title. St. Henry brings back a lot of girls that they have had. I don't know, maybe losing one or two girls from their rotation last year. Obviously, Marion being just a strong team that they are every year, bring back their best player coming back. Minster's always tough. Versailles is always tough. And then, honestly, I really like our chances with the lineup that we have and the mismatches that we can create with a lot of teams to definitely be able to throw our hat up there in the mix, especially getting to play St. Henry and Marion twice this year. Again, like we did last year with the Battle of 119, obviously only two of those games count towards our MAC record, but it's definitely good to have that kind of competition and where we were at last year, being able to compete and bringing back a lot of our main pieces. Obviously losing our leading scorer from last year with Callie Wendell, but I feel like we have done enough in the off season and so far in the preseason to be able to fill a lot of those gaps that we had from last year.
Do you like that Battle of 119? Like, do you find that to be beneficial from a coaching standpoint to play teams that you know well?
Yes and no. Yeah, I mean, it's really good, especially for us. If we can get, for the girls, if we can get a game on a Friday or a Saturday night that also brings in a boys crowd, and we can kind of play in front of that bigger crowd and kind of show what we can do there and play well. It kind of helps us out for tournament going down the road, being able to play some of those bigger games with a little more pressure. I really do like that part. But this is our last year in the Battle of 119. So just with the way things were kind of working out, we're looking to reschedule something else going forward after this year.
Very good.
Well, Coach, I appreciate you taking the time up out of your busy schedule. It's exciting time, and it all starts Friday night at the Fort site. Convoy Crestview comes to town.
That's right. Hope to see you all there.
Absolutely.
Hey, man. I'm bookkeeping. I'll be there.
Hey, that's good. That's what we like.
Yeah, brought me out of retirement again. All right, Coach. Thanks a lot for calling, my friend. We'll see you Friday.
Hey, thanks, guys.
See you, Coach.
That is Coach Dyche of the Fort Recovery Indians. We're going to take a break. Come right back with Steve Hellwagon, 24/7 Bucknuts right after this.
Thanksgiving means getting together with family and friends, and food is always the main attraction. Let Wayne IGA make it easy for you with their great party trays. Cookie trays, sandwich trays, veggie trays, fruit trays, and of course, everybody's favorite, their meat and cheese trays. Be sure to order ahead at 375-2865. And check out their great selection of wine and beer, chips and dips, all kinds of snacks to make it a great party. Make Wayne IGA your headquarters for all your party supplies. Wayne IGA, the hometown store that saves you more.
This is Chad Guggenbiller with CSG Consulting Finance and Brokerage in Fort Recovery. Business owners and farmers, are you concerned with the economy and where things might be headed? That's why it's important to be thinking about your 2024 and 2025 operating monies. Come see our newest addition, my son Tyler and I, for the best value in the market. Because operating costs affect you every day, and it's nice to have a friend helping you navigate those current market challenges. See us for a free review. CSG Consulting, your partner in planning and the fundamental things. 419-852-4044.
Hello, this is Zoe from Brick Street Tavern, and we have delicious home-cooked daily lunch specials at a great price Monday through Friday. And now we also offer a second cook's choice lunch special every day. We still offer our regular lunch favorites. We start off each week with Mystery Monday, and our special will be something different each week. On Tuesday, it's our meatloaf dinner. Wednesday, it will be our famous three-piece chicken dinner. Thursday, you can get a tenderloin with fries and applesauce. And on Friday, we have our big half-pound cheeseburger with fries and slaw. And now we also offer a second lunch special every day. Check our Facebook page daily to see what our two lunch specials will be. Fast, delicious, home-cooked meals. Lunchtime, Monday through Friday, here at Brick Street Tavern in downtown Port Recovery.
Season tickets for the 2024-2025 basketball season are being sold in the high school office from 7:45 a.m. to 4 p.m. on days that school is in session. Last year's boys' season ticket holders will have until Friday, November 22nd, to get their reserve seat season tickets. After November 22nd, anyone not having a reserve seat or wanting a different seat for the boys' games can go to the high school office and see what seats are available for purchase. Season tickets for the boys' home games are $55 for reserve seats for adults, and student season tickets are $35. If children sit in the reserve seat area, they must also have a reserve seat season ticket because all lower-level seats are reserve season tickets. Presale tickets for the boys' home games for adults are $8, and students are $7 each. All tickets at the door will be $8. And if you're 65 or older, they offer a senior citizens pass for only $30 that's good for both boys and girls' home junior high and high school games, but this does not include a reserved seat for the boys' home varsity games. Season tickets for the girls' home games are the same as for the boys, except there will be no reserved seats, $55 for adults and $35 for students. Tickets for the high school girls basketball game will be $8 for adults and $7 for students at the door, since there will be no presale tickets for the girls games. Other passes available at the high school office are student all sports passes for $50, adult all sports passes for $150, including a reserved seat for the boys home basketball games, junior high student passes for $10, and junior high passes for adults for $25. The basketball season is coming soon, so get to the high school office now to get your basketball season tickets.
Sports Talk, Bubba and Fee.
Talk Bubba and Fee, and we're joined by 24/7 Bucknuts Steve Hellwagon. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing great, guys. What's going on?
Well, we got a big one Saturday, and we're coming in with a little injury that, and, you know, the mentality of next man up, you always got to have that. But this one hurts.
Yeah, I'd say no doubt about it. Seth McLaughlin, you know, transferred in from Alabama, and he was playing at all Big Ten level at the center position, if not an All-American level. And it's going to be a tough one for Ohio State to overcome. If they can get through this game, obviously it's huge. You've got to win this one and the next one to get to Indianapolis and play for the Big Ten championship. And it'll be Carson Hensman, who's been playing guard, will move back to center, where he was the starter last year. And it'll be Austin Sirivelde, who's going to go in at left guard. He started there earlier in the season when Donovan Jackson was out a few games. So they're patching it together the best way that they can. And that's all they could do at this point.
Yeah. Steve, I kind of thought maybe they might throw Luke Montgomery in there, a kid, you know, from Finley that we know from in high school. And I thought maybe he was ready.
Well, you know, obviously the coaches see these guys every day in practice, know what they can and can't do, and they know who's ready and who is in position. And Sirivelde obviously filled in, was the first guard in earlier this season, and got that opportunity to start the first game or two when Jackson was out. So, you know, I just look at it that's Ryan Day said tonight, that's who it'll be. So that'll be what it's going to be. But I agree with you. I think Montgomery's got a bright future ahead of him, and it's just finding a spot at this point for him to play. Maybe his best spot will be maybe out at tackle after Jackson leaves this season. Somebody will have to, you know, maybe man that tackle spot or, you know, beat out one of the guys who's a guard. So it's tough to get on the field at Ohio State. A lot of competition.
Man,
we're coming off a nice win at Northwestern. I want your opinion. Is Wrigley Field, are you in or out on Wrigley Field hosting the football game?
I thought it was awesome. I think, you know, I've been to a lot of Cubs games there, probably 15 or more, and really enjoy every time I've gone there just because it's so much fun. And the atmosphere, the neighborhood around it, you know, all the bars and restaurants and everything. It, you can spend the whole day there if you want. So I think that's what a lot of Ohio State people did. They showed up early and they stayed late. And Ohio State, there was probably, they announced 38,000 people there. But, you know, there were people on the rooftops across the street looking in. My guess is probably 25,000 to 30,000 of the people were Ohio State people in scarlet and gray. So it was a great showing for Buckeye Nation. And I'm good with it. I think it's tremendous. So, you know, I don't know if we'll ever have that opportunity again with Northwestern building a brand new stadium, though.
Are you concerned? And I'm nitpicking, okay? Are you concerned with the slow starts? And I don't want to sit here and gross the Buckeyes out. They won 45, whatever it was. Yeah. But Northwestern was able to control that first quarter, and they moved the ball at will, really.
Yeah, it's been kind of a recurring theme for Ohio State. I mean, they fell behind Penn State 10-0 to start that game. You would hate to see that happen this week against Indiana. I think they got to do something to come out of the gates a little stronger. They didn't get off the field the first two times Northwestern had the ball. They drove it down and fumbled it, and I think they drove it 92 yards and scored a touchdown. So then after that, Ohio State settled in defensively and slammed the door on them. You know, I think they had 150 yards on those first two drives and then only like 120 the rest of the game. So, yeah, it was interesting to see, no doubt.
We definitely make good adjustments or something, but we're just a little slow coming out of the gate.
I'm sorry, what did you say?
I said it seems like we're making great adjustments, but we're just a little slow getting coming out of the gate.
Yeah, no doubt about it. That's just the way it is, and they got to figure out a way to get it going to start the game. That's what they got to do. So we'll see if they're able to accomplish that.
When you look at this team, and you've been around the Buckeyes for I don't know how many years. You're old like we are, but how good is this offense?
Well, you know, I think they have had potential at times to be maybe even better than what they've even shown. I think here in the last few weeks, I mean, they had 31 points against Northwestern, maybe could have scored more perhaps this past week, maybe didn't finish the game off, didn't start or finish the game off maybe the way they would have hoped. But, you know, the middle two quarters were pretty good. I think against Purdue, obviously, they had 45 points. Purdue's not very good. 20 against Penn State. I think 21 against Nebraska. So 31 against Oregon. So, you know, it's kind of been up and down at times. Consistency, running the football, I think, has been pretty good the last 3 weeks. They've been in the 170 range. You know, if they can maintain 150 to 170 against these Big Ten opponents, that gives you a pretty good chance to win the game. So, you know, I look at it, that's kind of the starting point is you got to establish the run. And then they've done a good job supporting Howard, protecting him. His receivers have made great plays for him. As we saw, Carnell Tate had two great catches for him this past week. So there's a lot to like with this offense. And, you know, is Tate now, do you have three go-to receivers instead of just the two? That's an interesting thought, too. But, yeah, this offense, I think, you know, if they put it all together, look out. They're going to be a hard team to beat here down the stretch.
IU comes to town. You can't say enough about what Singetti's brought to the table. I read where his whole defense is about his James Madison team, right?
Yeah, no doubt.
That's kind of, I mean, it's really kind of cool that because he seems like a likable dude.
Yeah, he's got a lot of, he's a hard guy, you know. Yeah. That's how I'll put it on family radio. He's a real hard guy. So, you know, we've known those guys. I likened him today. I was doing a show. He said he's a little bit like Bobby Knight without being so abusive to people. You know, he just is a very much no nonsense guy. He is 63 years old. He's been coaching his whole life. And he's been put in this position, and he started at the bottom, has worked his way all the way to the top. Now he's going to be coaching at Indiana until he's close to 70 years old, and $8 million a year kind of says it all. They've made the commitment to him. They, after 2.5 months, they really like what they've seen.
Yeah, I would say so. Yeah.
So, you know, it's been a good marriage between him and Indiana, and if they can keep the players coming for him, then, you know, they could win some games here over the next few years there. But they're in position this year. I think if, you know, a lot of people are debating whether they can get in the playoff at 11-1 ahead of some of the two-loss SEC teams. And I'm like, no doubt about it. Now, you know, the one thing I'll say is they can't come out here on Saturday and get beat 40-3 and get exposed, you know, to where people say, no, you know, they're no good. But, you know, the thing is, you only play the teams on your schedule. And, you know, Michigan was on their schedule, the defending national champions. You figure ordinarily preseason top 10 that'd be a good win. Turns out they're only 5-5. That's too bad. But, you know, they can only beat the teams on their schedule. They beat them all by an average of 30 points. And they have beaten some of these teams by a wider margin than Oregon, Penn State, and Ohio State have beaten some of these Big Ten opponents, common opponents. And we all believe they're legit. So if Indiana has made it a regular occurrence, and I'm talking about UCLA and Washington and Nebraska and a couple others that they have beaten by wider margins than some of these other, you know,
top teams, then, you know, I think you got to give them respect. I mean, if they were just beaten, you know, some of these teams that they have played by 5 or 10 points, we'd say, oh, they're not for real. But they are beating these teams. They beat Nebraska 56-7.
Yeah.
You know, Nebraska hasn't been the same since that game. So, yeah, you know, it just, to me, I think you got to believe in them until they prove otherwise. Curtis Rourke, the quarterback's done a great job.
I think he's about my age, ain't he?
Yeah, he's a sixth year guy. So, he's been very impressive, no doubt.
Absolutely. He used his COVID year, I think, and then is that?
Yeah, what, definitely. Yeah,
okay, that's
definitely.
Harold, you got a question?
So, I know we ask this a lot, but like your day Saturday, what time you get down there? What time you start?
Well, for a lot of these noon games, I've been leaving my house around 9 or 9:30. It takes me about a half hour, 40 minutes to get there. And so I may leave a little earlier just because traffic, you know, should be pretty heavy for this one, you know, being a big game. And people want to get down there early. So I may leave 8:30 or 9 and probably get parked by 9:45 or 10 and then go in, have a little bit of food, and then probably either go down and look for the recruits on the track or and shoot pictures maybe of some warm-ups or just get ready for the pregame band show, try and take some video of that, get that out for people who can't be at the game, who love to see that. And then from there, just watch the game and, you know, just taking notes throughout the game. And fourth quarter, I head down, get in position for the post-game interviews. And that's a full day. You know, it'll be
big day.
Probably 6 or 6:30 when I'm leaving the stadium finally. So it'll be a full day and get some food and home, go home and watch maybe some of the later games. So,
yeah.
And then sometimes I'll work on my pictures that our photographer shot to see what's going on with that and get those posted after the game.
Ohio State has beat Indiana 29 straight times. Is that correct?
Yeah, it's crazy. The last time Indiana beat Ohio State, I was a student, 1988. They beat him in Columbus in 1987. And then there was a tie in 1990. So that was not a very good four-year period there to go whatever it was, 1-2-1 against Indiana. But
who would have been their coach back then?
Bill Mallory, I believe.
Bill Mallory.
Yeah, 96. Yeah, then they went through a bunch of coaches after that, like Cam Cameron and Bill Lynch and Terry Heppner was there until he passed away. And then on up through Jerry DiNardo was there for a few years. Kevin Wilson, you know, there was a revolving door over there of guys that went through that job, and just nobody could really, you know, get much going on there. But, I thought Allen, you know, Kevin Allen was on the verge of doing some good things, and they got rid of him. And then Tom Allen had the year there with Michael Penix, the quarterback, about 4 years ago.
They about beat us.
Yeah.
Yeah, they came in. It was 28-7 at halftime. Indiana cut it to 42-35 in the fourth quarter and had the ball, but could not tie the game. And the Buckeyes won and went on to the Big Ten championship game. That was the COVID year. So, it was kind of a crazy happenstance. Penix threw for 490 yards. You don't want to see Rourke get hot like that this week. That'd be curtains for Ohio State if something like that happens.
That's exactly right. Me and Harold went down to the Purdue game, and I hadn't been there for a few years. And I'll tell you what, it's just, even at the Purdue game, the skull session, we went to the whole thing, made a whole day of it. There just ain't nothing like it. It is just... It's an event when Ohio State plays at Columbus.
Yep. Yeah. And they had 8 home games this year, and some of the opponents, maybe not, you know, as big time as fans would have liked there in the early in the preseason, some of those games. But to have these two games back to back, I can't recall a situation where they played two, you know, a home game the week before Michigan if they have, it's just basically been, you know, a lower Big Ten team that wasn't any good that year, and it was kind of a walkover getting ready to tune up for Michigan. But this one, you know, the circumstances of this one are a little bit different, and both these games are must win. And Indiana, I don't think there's any doubt Indiana's the better team of the two, but you know, the Michigan game is an animal of it to itself, and they're playing great defensive football. And if they spark a turnover or two, you know, what could happen next week? But the big thing is you got to win this one, so the next one means as much as it could possibly mean next week. So that's the job one right now, is overcome the loss of the center and get ready to go play.
Once again, I cannot thank you enough for coming on here and talking Ohio State football. And you're a class guy, go Bucks.
Go Bucks.
There it is, guys. I'm looking forward to this, the center of the college football world this week and next week is Ohio State and Columbus. Imagine. And, you know, this is what it's all about this time of year. We finally got some cold weather. I think my dad, who's 81 years old, was still playing golf 2 days ago, and I called my mom. I told her, I said he could probably put the clubs up now, because I think we're going, and we ain't coming back from this one.
Hey, they're saying 57 Monday.
Oh, my goodness, really?
So I bet,
Dad might be out there yet. Yeah, oh, well.
Yeah, that's right.
We'll see.
Hey, Steve, have a good one, man. Thanks for calling.
Hey, Steve.
Yeah, guys, be good.
All right. That is Steve Hellwagen from the Bucknuts and just an all-around champion of a
great guy.
Let's take a break, come right back. We're going to talk Fort Recovery Boys basketball right after this. Sports Talk presented by
the Wayne IGA.
Hello, I'm Kenny Canope from K&L Tractor Sales in Fort Recovery, Ohio. Aches and pains aren't trophies. They're just barriers keeping pros like you from getting the work done. You know better than anyone that this business can be backbreaking, but that's all the more reason to partner with someone who has your back. Ferris is about helping you finish strong and feel good about doing it. Ferris commercial grade mowers feature patented suspension technology that allows you to mow faster and get more work done while keeping you comfortable so you can feel good tomorrow. Ferris, work hard, feel good.
Your home is your castle, but do you have a round table of knights to constantly guard your castle? Hi, I'm Eric Brackman with Fort Recovery Insurance with an even better solution. Let's put together a policy with Ohio Mutual Insurance Group, and we can provide you with a Simply Safe security system for free. I think it's better than a moat to guard your castle and no digging required. Call me for details, and let's keep your castle protected. FortRecoveryInsurance.com.
Do you want to work somewhere that is more than a workplace? Look no further than Cooper Farms, where their competitive pay and suburb workforce will make you feel like a part of the family from day one. Cooper Farms has locations in Van Wert, Paulding, and Mercer counties, and positions are open for all work styles. Whether you need a full-time job with competitive pay and excellent benefits, or a flexible part-time position that allows you to set your own hours, Cooper Farms is the place for you to pursue your next career. Go to CooperFarmsJobs.com to join us today and find a new job. Cooper Farms, more than a workplace.
The Friends of the Fort Recovery Library will once again be hosting their annual Fort Festival of Trees display at the library from Monday, December 9th through Tuesday, December 31st during normal library hours. Families, local organizations, businesses, and individuals are invited to participate in this very popular event by entering a decorated tree or wreath for the display. The tree can be 3 to 7 feet tall and can have a theme, promote your business, celebrate an achievement, can honor a loved one, or decorate a tree just for the fun of it. Hundreds of people stop into our library every year to see the trees and vote for their favorite. If you'd like to decorate a tree, please stop by the library or call them at 375-2869 for more information about participating in this year's Fort Festival of Trees. This is a message from the family of Kimo Bechtel. We would like to thank you all from the bottom of our hearts for the love, support, and prayers you've shown us during this difficult time. Your kindness has meant so much to us and has truly helped us through the pain of losing Kimo. We feel incredibly blessed to have such a caring community around us, and your support has made all the difference. Thank you for being there for us in so many ways. A message from the family of Kimo Bechtel.
Sports Talk, Bubba and B.
Steve Hellwagen. Thank you, Coach Deitch.
Coach Deitch, Steve.
Thank you, Harold Greeley.
Love to be here.
All right. Boys got a scrimmage at home. I think you got Salina Bulldogs tomorrow.
Bulldogs tomorrow night.
Let me double check, make sure I get this
right. Make sure you're right.
Yeah.
Let's use that. Should be a tester.
Oh, absolutely. That'd be good. Tough.
Good one to have. And then Saturday, the Lima Bath, you said?
Yeah, Saturday morning.
10 o'clock, yeah. Maybe, I think. Yeah. I thought I seen that.
Yep. Then
5:30 tomorrow, Wayne Trace and Salina.
5:30.
And, ooh, it's at Salina. Ooh. Dang.
Well, road trip.
Might go over there, yeah. Screw around a little bit, Salina.
Yeah.
And then Saturday, the 23rd, at home with Lima Bath.
Saturday is at home.
Yep.
Yep, that's 10 o'clock, I think.
Yep, 10 bells. So yep.
This Saturday, 10 o'clock.
Yep. I went up to the Delvis Jefferson.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Scrimmage and we're good. We're good.
We're okay?
Yeah, no, we're good.
We're good. I
yeah.
like it.
Yeah.
No, we're good.
Yep.
I was. If we can shoot, yep. And we shot. Overman kid, he had that 40.
Yes.
He didn't miss a shot. He didn't hit the rim. He didn't hit the rim.
A couple times.
He don't lack confidence.
I watched that the first quarter. Breaker, I think, had 5 baskets.
Yep.
Pretty good. And Brody Bargy had 5 or 6 rebounds in just in that quarter. And
Gavin Evers, Briggs. Just
solid.
Grant Fort Camp the starters.
Yeah.
That's who started there.
Yeah. Yep.
Off the bench was Posty.
Yep. Yep.
Colson.
And I'm trying to think of, but
yeah,
I thought
we were good. Just as good with the guys that came in.
Very intense. I thought
good.
I was real happy. I thought it was fun.
I enjoyed it.
Yeah, I did too. I can't wait. It'll be it's awesome.
We got a couple weeks to wait yet, though, don't we?
Yeah, they don't open up until like December the 30th or something.
Not December the 30th.
No, yeah.
It's not that late.
Yeah, it is.
No, it
feels like the
7th, I believe. Yeah, let's see.
Jay County.
Yep.
County?
So the girls play Jay County at noon on December the 7th.
Same thing last year, didn't we?
And that's, I think the girls are at home and the boys are at...
At Jay County the 7th, Tuesday the 10th at Laramie.
Yep.
Friday the 13th at Marion. Saturday the 14th at the Railroaders.
Yep.
We don't have a home game till the 20th.
Yep.
And that's the Cheerleaders Christmas Dance.
Ooh.
The Parkway.
That'll be the big crowd.
Yep.
Anzonia Tigers with Tony. Is Tony still there?
Yep. Oh, yeah.
Still there.
Yep.
Good.
Yep.
Then we got a lot of home games during the holidays, though.
Good.
Yep.
But then we got the last year of the Marion Local and St. Henry and Fort Recovery
119
battle.
Yep.
Yep. And then after the first year, it's at Lincoln View, at Bodkins, at Bremen.
We got a tough schedule.
Yeah, we do. Bring it on. That's I'm ready.
Yeah.
That's good. We'll take it.
I think the worst that can happen is we might or might not have a great record this year. But those 3 kids that played it last year as freshmen and this year they're starting as sophomores, that's big. But I think we're good. I think we're good enough this year. But, you know, with those guys coming up, still just sophomores, man, we are promising.
There's a lot of good young kids.
A lot of young kids coming.
That's exactly right.
Yep.
Football playoffs, Anna Coldwater, who you got?
Got to go with the Cavs.
Yeah, I think so too. Cavs by 3 touchdowns.
Yep.
Marion Minster.
Yeah, got to go Flyers.
Flyers by. Yeah. Kirby gave me 21.
Gave you 21?
That's what it was, 21-0 last time.
Yeah.
That's going to be about close.
I think
shitty weather, though.
Yeah. I don't know. Does that help them? Or
no, I don't think it matters.
It doesn't matter. They're freight train.
It don't matter.
They're freight train.
Yeah,
St. John's plays
Columbus Grove.
Grove.
That'll be a battle.
Well, I hope it is. I think
it's unbelievable, Grove. St. John's. But they got 2 players that came back.
You said that. They got a couple years back. That makes more sense.
Yeah, absolutely.
Probably 2 pretty good players.
And then that's it, right? That's the 5 match.
I think, were they a 15 seed, 13 seed? Can't remember what they were, but it was
15.
15 seed.
Yeah. This is as far as a 15 seed has gone in the tournament.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Yep. They had that. Was that the one that they had quick 2?
We fumbled on it. They kicked
2
off,
and 2
we
minutes.
Fumbled. Yeah.
Yep.
Had 2 scores in 2 minutes to begin the second half, and other than that, it was a tie.
I frequented the Christmas open house in town. Beautiful day.
Great day.
And a great crowd.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. I was up there too.
And it even snowed in Krenning Park.
All right.
Yeah. They had
look good.
Had the by request group. the high school choir people out singing, and it started snowing.
Oh, well, what a beautiful. See, I was out on my golf cart, didn't quite see any snow.
Perfect. No snow.
Well, I seen the horses. You was on a horse.
I was on the horses, yeah.
I was a big horse. He didn't
good.
Do
good.
Remember that Seinfeld episode when they fed him some?
Yeah, farting all over.
He's farting. Remember that?
I don't remember it, but I saw every Seinfeld episode.
Rosie,
so.
Oh my Rosie. what a show. All right, so we got a scrimmage at the Bulldogs tomorrow at 5:30.
Bulldogs tomorrow, Saturday. Come on up in the morning, 10 o'clock.
Yep.
Lima Bath.
Happy birthday, Will Konapke, tomorrow.
Big Will.
Big number 8.
Number 8.
Awesome.
Yep.
Slow him down a little bit.
Yeah, no shit.
Going fast.
Jesus. Terrible.
That's terrible.
Yeah, he'll be big enough to knock you over pretty soon there, Bobby.
Out there now.
Yeah,
morons. Yep. Hey, for my good friend, Mr. Harold Feely. The man behind
Go Bucks,
the man behind the mics and the boards, McNeil. I am Bob Stogler. Next Wednesday, we're up in the air.
Yep.
We're up in the air.
Yep. We'll stay tuned. We'll let you know if we're going to have... show. I don't know if I have them scheduled for next week or the week after for I believe it's the week after for Racing for Relief.
We
did that for first for insight since our guest was probably ill. So
thanks, Bush.
Well, that's okay.
No, he's out. We are never interviewing Tim Buescher again.
Well, you might not be.
Huh?
I hope to plenty
he's
of times.
He's out.
No.
He's in?
Yeah, he's back.
Still in?
He's always in.
He's in.
Yep.
Awesome.
And Tribe, you know.
Oh,
man.
That's a killer.
Ah.
Yep. Sad.
69. I didn't know he was that old.
I was
67. Yeah. Paperhead,
Little
Bit had 69.
Yep.
Man.
Some of the stories. Oh my God!
He can tell you stories.
Oh, I had one on Facebook about when he got the chicken dinners.
That was a good one.
And then he tells a story about I remember just like it was yesterday. Big P, he's anime, talks in his hands, and he's talking about Chris Dudley, New Jersey Nets. Mm-hmm. He bet $1,000 on New Jersey Nets to win. They were getting 2 points. They're up 19 with 7 minutes to go in the game. He leaves Fishmo's. He knows he won $1,000. I don't know where he said he went. Chris Dudley went 1-for-18 from the free throw line. And they got beaten overtime.
Oh, man.
I looked it up. Me and Cliffy looked it up, and he did. Right. He went 1-for-18 in the fourth quarter, and they lost. Some of his gambling losses are, and he loves it. I mean, he just loved to tell those stories because he was just a neat guy. He was a neat guy.
Yeah, and I went over to McSober's last night, and Gary popped in. I talked to him for a few seconds.
Good.
He was talking to all kinds of people there, but he said, you know, Krabby, he said he liked everybody, but he said that Krabby said, why do people hate me? And I told Gary, I said, people might say they hate you, but a lot of times they won't stop in a bar unless they see his car out there. But they'll tell everybody they hate him, but if they see his car, they're going in. They want to hear him tell stories. They say they don't like him, but they can't wait to go in and listen to him, hear him holding court, because he was
a court holder.
Yes, he was a presence.
Yes, he was.
And I said, you know that it's true that, you know, some people, a lot of people said they don't like that guy at all, but they'll if they see his car, they're going in. They did that all the time.
Hey, we will talk to you. Everybody have a good Thanksgiving. We don't see him next Wednesday. Yeah, we're going to try to be on.
See if we can get him. We'll see what we come up with.
Mike, we don't have no life.
Nope.
It's getting worse too.
Yeah,
I have nothing.
I can't get off the couch.
Yeah, but you can be getting everything ready for Thanksgiving dinner the next day.
Good.
You
could be absolutely.
You could be home. Making homemade food.
Probably ought to do that.
Yeah,
probably. I might.
Maybe you ought to stay out.
I remember Thanksgiving dinner when I was a kid was an event.
Yes.
Mom started that turkey during the night. I remember you could smell that.
Yep.
Because you cooked that. Back then, it wasn't a turkey roast. It was a freaking, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
And the roaster and the smell and the stuffing and the whole night. It was just back in the day.
Yeah. My parents, of course, they made the Southern stuffing.
Yep.
And they would make homemade biscuits and crumble them up. They would get whatever kind of bread. I don't know if it's anything special, but they'd white kind of bread, and they'd toast that, and they'd get it all mixed up. That was all going on Wednesday night.
Oh,
it was an event, and and all the stuff that you know, and it was just incredible. It was so much fun.
I remember we bowled on Wednesday night before Thanksgiving.
We always did.
Oh, Mudboat. Was that he went through about 4 or 5 years where we got him turkeys, he killed them and he cleaned them and did a whole nine yards.
Yeah.
So we got him 2 turkeys from Glen Days. I'll never forget it. Went out there, me and I think Bill was with me. We got 2 turkeys. We brought them to his house, knocked them on the head, cleaned them all up. Ram, we took them to Ram. Ram and lived by Mudboat.
Oh, yeah.
We was all, everybody was there. Billy B, Ram, the whole night, drinking beer and cleaning his turkeys. Got that bird clean. Mary went to put in the oven. It didn't fit. So they had to go to Chiefs and get a turkey. And we worked on that thing forever. And it didn't fit in the damn oven. Yeah. Never even thought about it.
Hey, you got you a good turkey, though. Let's pick out a big one.
Yeah. Bill, one time, we deep fried a turkey at our house, my house. And so he brought all stuff down, and he threw that son of a gun in there. And I've never had such a terrible turkey. He burn it, you know. That's tough to do, the deep fried turkey. You gotta take a little. I remember he put it in there and the flame shot out of there. And
it's too wet.
Yeah, most time guys die doing that.
Yeah, I remember Gary Wendell, don't remember, it wasn't going to be a turkey, I don't think, but he was going to do something. And he had it turned up as high as it would go. So the oil was burning, and any little drop of water will just go crazy. And I don't remember exactly what happened, but it didn't go well. But something really got screwed up there.
We should have a turkey fry here.
Deep fry?
Here?
Yes. Out on the street. Think they'll let us do it?
Not without Chuck here and the rest of the firemen.
Don't keep next Wednesday open.
Oh, God.
How long will it take deep fried turkey to feed people?
I have no idea.
No idea.
Well, you're supposed to let it cool down so before you start slicing it.
So I'm saying if we fry a turkey here, mm-hmm. and then we come on up and try it.
Yep.
Next Wednesday night, we'll get Bill.
Bill's
got to
be involved.
You in or out? You think we can close the street off a little bit?
We could probably close off the little street here.
Oh, yeah.
Going straight back to the fort.
Hang on, let's call Bill.
I don't know. Yeah. That's
Bill. God. This is big.
I hope he doesn't answer. Because you know he's going to say yes, even if he can't do it.
The night before he got burned down.
Yeah.
The night before Thanksgiving.
This could be big. Let's call Bill Stogler right now.
Oh, boy.
Oh, this is big.
Hello.
Bill.
Tom.
Nothing. You?
Nothing.
You're live on Fort Recovery Radio with Bubba and Fee. How you doing?
Big.
Good. What the hell's going on, boys?
We got big ones.
This is big.
It's here.
You ready for this?
Yeah.
We're thinking about deep frying a turkey next Wednesday on our show. You in or out?
Yeah, I'm in.
We think we can close the street off, and then we'll invite everybody up for turkey.
Yeah, I got deep fryer.
I know you did, but I was just talking the story when you tried to burn my house down.
Yep, remember that?
Yeah.
Remember how bad that didn't turn out very good?
No, it was a little charcoal. But inside, if you dug deep enough.
I've done a few since then.
Have you?
Yeah, actually, I was just looking on my phone on different frying, deep frying them.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah. I got it. I got it. When you want to do this?
Next Wednesday night.
Yeah.
You're in?
We're doing a turkey, yeah.
We're going to do it live on the radio.
Yeah.
God.
Neil, you in or out?
If you're doing it, I'm in.
All right.
This is crazy.
We're going to get her lined up.
Yep.
All right.
I might bring the beer.
Yeah. Okay. Sounds good. Later.
Boys.
Bye.
Oh, God.
We're in.
What did you get us into?
This is big. I'm going to put it on Facebook when we get home tonight.
So are we, what are we going to?
The community turkey. Yeah. Eating.
So are people bringing fixins? Are we just going to have turkey?
We're going to supply everybody.
With what?
It's over. Just turkey and pumpkin pie.
Nothing else? No mashed taters?
No. What else can we make?
I don't know.
I'd say we'll just slice off some turkey.
Fill people up before they're big ones.
Yeah. I think if we just let people try out some of Bill's famous deep fried turkey.
Yeah. Okay. All right. We're going
to
get it rolling.
We'll have to figure it out. Somebody's going to have to figure out how to slice it. I have an electric knife. I'm sure somebody can do that.
Listen to that. Hear that?
Yep.
He's got that baby right next Wednesday, folks. I am Bob Stalger, my friend Fee, and Neil. See you next Wednesday.
See you next Wednesday.
Indians.